Good evening. If you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we want to talk about praying on purpose. Praying on purpose. Matthew chapter 6, of course, is a part of the longer discourse of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And he is teaching us some very good things that we should pray about. And these verses are, of course, very familiar. In verses 9 down through 13, Jesus says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, we understand some in the religious world think Jesus means you must repeat this prayer verbatim in order for God to hear you. So you may have friends or you may see on TV shows or in movies people repeating this prayer word for word before meals or before bedtime or before some sports event. And I'll say, that's not bad to do that. There's nothing wrong with saying this prayer word for word to God. But Jesus' point is not to give us a script to memorize. And it's certainly not to give us some script that we're to repeat over and over again multiple times a day so that it becomes meaningless. In fact, look back in verse 7 at what he said in Matthew 6, verse 7. "When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." It is ironic that many people turn this model prayer in 9 through 13 into meaningless repetition. The very thing that Jesus says, don't do in your prayer life. If the extent of our prayer is, if our prayer life is simply repeating this prayer over and over again, our prayer life is going to suffer. And that's because at its core, prayer is about communication. It's about sharing what's in our hearts with God. That's why Jesus is not giving us an empty script. What he's doing is giving us a list of some very good things that we should be praying for and about. He says we should be praising God. We should be asking for his will to be done, asking for his daily provision, for forgiveness, for strength to forgive others, for help in times of temptation. But you know and I know this isn't the only prayer in the Bible. And you know and I know this isn't the only prayer that Jesus prayed. In fact, Jesus prayed many other prayers that did not look like this model prayer. And we have the apostles praying for different things. We have characters in the Old Testament praying for different things. We have an entire book of Psalms, which really introduces a wide range of prayers. Prayer is not supposed to be put in a neat little box where our words have to come out in a certain way in order for God to understand us. In fact, would you look at verse 8? Jesus says, "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." You see, I am a big proponent of spontaneous prayer, where you're going through something difficult and you just cry out to God in an honest, genuine way. "Father, help me deal with this situation." Or, "Father, where are you? Father, help me be strong enough to overcome this particular temptation," and to just be genuine and to praise him maybe, but to not worry about following some sort of script. However, there's something interesting I want us to notice, not only about this model prayer, but about every recorded prayer in Scripture. And that is, they're all purposeful prayers. They all have specific goals in mind. Jesus gives us 4 or 5 specific things in the model prayer so that we can purposely go and pray about these things to God. When you read the Psalms, there is purpose and direction to their prayers. They aren't just random ramblings. And I wonder, maybe our prayer life could be a lot richer if we made it our aim to pray on purpose. Let me illustrate it this way. For those of you who are married, isn't it true sometimes as a husband and wife, you just need to talk? And it doesn't really matter necessarily what you talk about. You're just spending time together and you're sharing your feelings and you're talking about what happened on your day and what you're concerned about, what your fears are. And it's kind of random and spontaneous and not really scripted or planned. However, aren't there some times when you actually plan to sit down and talk to your spouse about things? Aren't there times, for instance, when you say, look, on Tuesday night after work, we need to sit down and talk about what we're going to do about how to fix this water heater? Or, you know, what are we going to do about little Johnny's behavior in school? We need to talk about this. We need to make an appointment. There's nothing wrong with that. Because sometimes you have to plan to talk about things, otherwise they won't get talked about. I'm speaking mainly for myself here, so maybe this doesn't apply to you all. But I fear sometimes my prayer life, or I'll say our prayer life, is so unplanned and so spontaneous and from the hip that we never talk to God about things we really need to be talking to Him about. So tonight I want to share the benefit of having a prayer plan. I'm going to share with you the prayer plan that I use just to give you an example or an idea of what I mean. And then I'll make 4 points from the scriptures about what praying on purpose with a prayer plan can do for you. So here's my prayer plan. On Mondays, I'm praying for church members. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 6? I want to give scriptural backing for all of these points. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18, it's not on the screen, but it's on your outlines. Ephesians 6, 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Paul tells us to be praying for our fellow saints. And I choose Mondays for that because on Sunday I'm gathered with the saints and I'm talking to you all and I'm asking you what's going on in your life and you're giving me updates about that. And one of the elders is getting up and making an announcement at the end about what's going on in people's lives. And so all that is very fresh in my mind. And on Monday, I want to be praying about that right away. Also, I will say, I say church members, but sometimes there are saints in other churches that I know of who are going through things, and I'll use Mondays for that as well. So it could be local church members, but it could also be just church members across the world. Secondly, on Tuesdays, I am praying for preachers, both foreign and domestic. If you're still in Ephesians 6, look in the very next verse, in verse 19. Paul says, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul tells me I need to be praying for preachers. I find it interesting. Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he's still asking the church to pray for him to help him know what to say, or to help him speak as he ought to speak, and to have courage as he ought to have courage. To me, I'm thinking, I'm not inspired by the Holy Spirit. How much more do I need prayers? And preachers today are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. They need prayers for boldness. They need prayers for courage. So I'm praying for Adam. And I'm praying for myself and my work here. And I'm praying for all the preachers on our back bulletin board there that we're supporting across this country and across this world. And I'm praying for preachers that I know of working in other places that are a big influence on me. Tuesday, I'm praying for preachers. Wednesday, I'm praying for physical family members. It was hard to find a verse specifically about this, but I found one that covered it, 1 Timothy 2, because it really covers everything. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Now, that's not just men as opposed to women. That's all people. God wants us to pray for everyone. And for me, these prayers for my physical family members are especially important because, yes, I'm praying about their physical well-being and all that, but my physical family members are not Christians. And so I'm also praying for their spiritual well-being. I'm praying for doors to be opened so that I can reach them for the gospel or so that their heart will be softened or something will happen that they'll be able to become Christians. Thursdays, I'm praying for church members, again, because there are a lot of church members, and Wednesday night, I'm with you all again, and I'm talking to you about your life, and I'm also getting updates on announcements. So now I have updated information so that maybe I can, on Thursday, I can pray a prayer of thanksgiving because he answered a prayer that I asked him about on Monday to be with so-and-so who is struggling with some sickness or illness or something like that. But I'm praying immediately that next day on Thursday for church members. Fridays, I'm praying for world leaders and my neighbors. It was a little random, maybe not as connected. 1 Timothy 2, if you're still there, notice what he says. After saying praying for all men in verse 2, he says, pray for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm praying for God's blessings on leaders of our nation and on the leaders of all the nations of this world, that they would make good decisions. Good as in God's definition of good, not just, you know, good politics, but good morally. And that people would wake up and that they would lead people in doing what's right for the Lord. I'm also, though, praying right down in my neighborhood. I'm praying for the people that live right across the street from me. I'm praying for the people that live right next to me. Again, not only for their physical well-being, but that a door will be open so that I could reach them with the gospel, and I could be an influence for Christ in their life. And I want to be praying evangelistically, because that's really what 1 Timothy says. He says the reason you're praying for world leaders is because God wants all people to be saved. Saturdays, I'm praying for me. I need my Saturdays. You know, I need my me prayers. And I'm a preacher, but I'm a human being, and I need God. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your cares upon God, because He cares for you. There are things I really need to pray for, just for me, especially on Saturdays, because maybe the stress from the week before is mounting on me, and the next day is Sunday, and I'm supposed to get up and say something to you all. So I really need prayer. I really need God. And so I'm going to be praying for myself on Saturdays mainly. And then on Sundays, I'm praying for worship, and I'm praying for the elders and the deacons. I say just church leaders generally there. Psalm 19. Verse 14. This is the kind of prayer I want to pray before worship on Sunday morning, where he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. On Sunday mornings, I'm asking God that my worship personally will please him, that it will come from a pure and a clean heart, and that the church's worship will please him, that we will all glorify him according to his will, and that we will all edify one another and serve him according to his purpose. And I definitely want to be praying for the leadership of the congregation as well, the elders and the deacons. And let me say two things about this, now that I've laid this out. First of all, this is just one way to create a prayer plan. You might look at that and think, eh, I wouldn't do it that way. I'd do it a different way. That's okay. As long as you have some scriptural things that you're praying about, you can do it in whatever order. You can change this. You can add to it. You can take away. This is just something that I made up for myself that helps me. Secondly, and this is very important, the point of this plan is not to limit prayer to these things on these days. It's not like I'm just going to spend a few minutes on Monday morning praying over the announcement sheet from Sunday, but then I don't pray to God about anything else the rest of the day. Because, hey, I prayed for the church members. I'm done with prayer. No. This isn't about limiting prayer at all. It's also not like I only will pray for the church members on Monday, but, hey, once it's Tuesday, I can't pray for church members anymore because it's not Monday. No. The point is not to limit prayer, but to make a plan to pray for specific things on purpose. Here are four ways this has been very beneficial for me. First of all, it provides a kickstart to conversation. Have you ever sat down to pray, but you just weren't sure what to pray for? Maybe you felt like you didn't know what to say. Or maybe you had so many things to say, you just didn't know where to begin. Well, look in Luke chapter 11. Because in Luke 11, here we have a different context for the model prayer. It is that the disciples actually asked Jesus how to pray. Teach us how to do this. So verse 1, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." You know, prayer is not necessarily an easy thing. It takes some practice, and I'm grateful the disciples asked Jesus how to do it. Because when he gave them the model prayer here in Luke 11 and in the longer version in Matthew 6, you know what that does for me? Sometimes I still use the model prayer in Matthew 6 to kickstart conversation with God. If I sit down and I'm just not sure where to start, I'll say, "Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then maybe I start thinking, "Oh, how is his name hallowed? You know, how specifically can I praise his name?" And then maybe I go further in the prayer, "Please grant me my daily bread." And then I start thinking about my physical needs and how he's provided. And so sometimes I use the model prayer as a kickstart to get the conversation and to get the prayer rolling. This prayer plan does something similar. It's a great kickstart to conversation because you don't have to guess what you're going to pray about. You just know it's Monday, so I'm pulling out my announcement sheet or the notes I took about the announcements, and I'm praying for the church members because it's Monday. And I do this every Monday. And once you get started, you'll find it's easier to keep going. But let me say this. Even if all you do, or if it's just me using this plan, if all I do on Monday is pray for church members, that's okay. Because it's better than not praying at all. And if I'm just trying to get better at prayer, and I've got this prayer plan together, even if I only pray for the church members on Monday, I'm still getting comfortable talking to God about things. I'm still learning to rely on God, to be dependent on God, and to seek His help. And that is a very, very good thing. And you'll find, though, that once you get that conversation started, it becomes a lot more natural even to start another conversation with God later in that day. Even if you only pray for the church members in the morning on Monday, later in the day, you've already been kickstarted into prayer mode, so you're probably going to be talking to God about other things much more naturally because you've made this purpose to pray about this subject. Secondly, it provides focus. Have you ever sat down to pray and you just started praying for everything under the sun? And it was kind of like a stream of consciousness, and sometimes you get so distracted it doesn't even make sense. Maybe I'll start praying to God and I'm thanking Him for His power to send the sunshine and the rain. And then I start thinking, you know, it really has been raining a lot lately. Well, but that's a good thing because it's keeping my truck clean. And then I'm really thankful, God, for my truck. Thank you. That reminds me, I need to go get my oil changed because on the sticker, you know, it says that the mileage is coming up. And man, those stickers, they just peel off so easily. They never put those stickers on right. And speaking of peel, I got to go buy some bananas at the store. Thank you, God, for bananas. So you see, it can just go on and on. And I'm exaggerating. Obviously, that's not how my prayers go usually, but you get the point. Sometimes that can just happen. You just are thinking about all these things and there's just no rhyme or reason to it. Again, I'm not saying it's sinful or wrong to just talk to God about all of those things. That's fine. But again, if that's all we're ever doing in our prayer life, we're going to be missing some very vital things to pray about. And our prayer life won't be as strong as it could be had we made some sort of plan. Praying on purpose helps provide focus so we're not always so scattered and all over the place. Think again about the model prayer in Matthew 6. There is structure to it. There is organization. There is a system of moving through these four or five very important things to pray about. Or how about Acts chapter 4? Let me give you another example of this. Again, all the recorded prayers in Scripture are focused and purposeful. But here's an example of it. In Acts 4, Peter and John, of course, are being threatened by the Sanhedrin Council. And so in verse 24, it says, "When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, 'O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said,'" and they quote Psalm 2 here, "'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.'" Do you see a purpose and a focus in that prayer? It wasn't just this spontaneous, we're just going to randomly share all of our thoughts about random things with you, God. We're going to say very specific things. They're praising God. They're praising Him for His foreknowledge and His plan to send Jesus to save mankind. They're asking God to grant them boldness. The reason it was so focused was because they were praying on purpose. Thirdly, it provides balance. Have you ever sat down to pray and you're realizing you're praying about the exact same things you prayed about yesterday and the day before and the day before, and it's really the exact same things you always pray for? Sometimes we pick three or four things, and those three or four things are all we ever pray about, and we never branch out, and we never think outside the box. And so honestly, the reason we don't pray is because we're tired of praying, because we're tired of hearing ourselves pray the same exact thing over and over again. I don't have a specific Bible verse that says, "Thou shalt be balanced in your prayers." But in the model prayer in Matthew 6, I think this is part of it. Jesus is saying, look, here are four or five things that you can really pray to God. And it covers a very balanced range of subjects. He talks about our prayers having praise in them. Our prayers can have requests for physical needs, requests for spiritual needs, requests for strength and temptation, seeking God's will to be done on the earth. And when you read all the prayers in the Bible, it introduces us to such a wide range of possibilities for subjects to talk to God about in our prayer life. But sometimes we limit ourselves to only a handful of things. But a prayer plan provides balance in a couple ways. I won't have this on the screen, but it's on your outline. First of all, it gives you a balanced list of subjects to pray for. When you first create your prayer plan, you're trying to think, look, what are the categories in life? What are the things that I really need to be praying to God about? That way, I'm not just praying for me all the time. Or I'm not just praying for the church members all the time. Throughout a given week, I've prayed for myself, I've prayed for the church members, I've prayed for physical family, I've prayed for preachers, I've prayed for world leaders, my neighbors, and worship here and the leadership here. Now, maybe you use those categories, and after a while you realize, hey, there's something I'm missing here. Maybe there's something that I've just not been praying about, and I really need to pray about. Add that to the prayer plan. Put that as one of your subjects as well. That'll give you balance just by having a balanced list of subjects. Secondly, it gives you balance because when you focus on that particular category or subject, you'll find that you get new ideas. You see, here's what sometimes happens to me, and this is why this prayer plan was so helpful. Often, I would try to take the church members and the preachers and the physical family members and the world leaders and the neighbors and the worship and the elders, and I try to pray about all of that in the same day. And it's too much. I don't have time for, you know, to be able to do that. And so what happens is you just don't spend much thought on any one of those subjects. So what happens? You start repeating the same thing. God be with the elders. God be with the church members. God be, and it's very much the same thing because you don't really have the time to focus on all of those subjects in the same day. It's just not realistic. But when you say, look, on Mondays, I'm really going to focus on the church members, it gives you more time to really think about the church members, to really think about what specifically would be good to pray about on their behalf. And it allows you to go deeper into that subject. Let me give you this illustration. When is the last time you prayed for baby Lucas? I haven't told you all this, but on Mondays and Thursdays, when I pray for church members, I'm not just going through the announcements. I'm going through the directory, the picture directory online. So this is what happens. And I got their permission, so don't worry. I go online and I pull up a picture directory, our picture directory on psd.church. And the very first names on the directory are Jonathan and Kendra Aiken. So I start to think about Jonathan and Kendra, and I start to think about their situation in life, and I think about Jonathan's job at Enterprise, and I start to thank God that He's blessed Jonathan with that good job, and I start to think about their son Zachary, and just, you know, what a great kid he is, and I'm praying for his spiritual welfare, and then he'll continue to grow in the Lord. I'm thinking about Kendra and all the ways that she's an encouragement in her family, and I'm praying for her to be a good, godly wife to Jonathan, and a godly mother to her children. And then of course, I remember, especially because it's in parentheses, but I remember they also have a new baby, Lucas. And so now I can pray for baby Lucas. And I can pray God's blessings upon him too, that God would help him to grow physically and emotionally and mentally and especially spiritually. And I can pray that God will help him to not sleep through Adam's sermons anymore. I had this joke with Jonathan and Kendra. First time I saw Lucas, baby Lucas was asleep after Adam preached, and I said, well, you know, I guess I'm glad I wasn't preaching today. Well, it turns out he sleeps through mine too, Adam, so we're both in that same boat. But the point is, if I'm just praying about the same three or four things all the time, I'm missing the opportunity to pray for baby Lucas. And I'm missing the opportunity to continue down the directory, thinking about praying for Aspen and Mike and Ann, Alan and Jacob and Emily and Vicky and just so on and so forth. I'll try to do maybe three families on the directory each Monday and Thursday. And then when I get through it all, I'll start back over, and that's okay. Because once I get back to the beginning of the directory, people's situation in life has changed, and so my prayer is still balanced. And fourth and finally, it provides persistence. Have you ever prayed to God for something important, but then you just got distracted with life and you found that you completely forgot to continue praying for that one important thing? And then maybe a few months later, you remember again and you pray for it again, but you know, you really weren't that diligent about continuing to go to God about it. Look at Matthew chapter 7, powerful verse there. Matthew chapter 7, powerful passage. Jesus says this in verses 7 through 11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Jesus encourages us to ask and to seek and to knock, to continue in prayer. And let me give you one last passage in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, a powerful parable here. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know, the point of this parable is not to compare God to this unrighteous judge, but to contrast God from this unrighteous judge. If an evil judge can be worn down by persistence, how much more would a good heavenly Father grant us our requests if we're persistent and we're coming to Him, asking, seeking, and knocking? The challenge, Jesus says, is to find people on earth with this kind of faith. The kind of faith that keeps asking, seeking, and knocking. That doesn't lose heart, but continues to pray to God. You know, maybe someone was thinking about that prayer plan earlier. Yeah, but Brian, you know, once you get through the week, doesn't it start all over again the next week? And so you'll be praying for a lot of the same people again? The answer is yes. And that's exactly the point. I don't want to pray for baby Lucas today, but then not pray for him for another 3 years when I remember again. I want to pray at all times and not lose heart. I want to pray with consistency and with persistence. And to do that, I need to pray on purpose. Do you have your songbooks? I'm going to sing a song inviting you tonight to become a Christian, to gain access to this beautiful blessing of prayer. If you're not a Christian, you don't know the wonder of being able to talk to your Creator in an intimate relationship that's only possible in Christ. But you can know that if you'll come to Him tonight in faith, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you've done that already, and you've wandered away, and you've not been praying to God at all lately, and you've lost that connection to Him, He's waiting on you. God's not the one who moved. He's waiting on you to come back and to pray to Him once again. Can we help you tonight? Come forward and let us know how.